God raising up deliverers. And God spoke to him and he said, you must talk and teach on the attitudes of myself before you go into the reading. You know, I announced 2 weeks ago that I was going to start teaching on God raising up deliverers. And God spoke to me and he said, you must talk and teach on the attitudes of myself before you go into raising up deliverance. Because my attributes has got to be in an individual before they can be raised up as deliverers. And that's what I've been teaching on the last two Wednesday nights. And this night, I'm going to be teaching on another aspect of that. And the aspect that I'm going to be teaching on is vision. And whenever you have a vision, now I'm not talking about just any kind of a vision. I'm talking about a vision of the Word of God, the eternal purpose of God. Now, the eternal purpose of God, that will engulf just the purpose of God. You can be moving in the purpose of God and not in the eternal purpose of God. But that you have to understand, that the eternal purpose of God is revealing His eternal purpose, which He purposed from before the foundation of the world. And so, I want us to look tonight how important it is for vision. Now, I could take months and months to expound on this one scripture, but I'm just going to start it off with the book of Proverbs. The 29th chapter and the 18th verse. Proverbs 29 and 18. And I'll break it down just a little, but not too much, because it's so big and powerful what it says. All right.
Where there is no vision.
Where there is no vision, the people perish.
The people perish.
Now, there's many different translations on this. One translation reads, where there is no prophetic vision, the people perish.
Yes.
Another version reads, where there's no apostolic vision, the people are perishing. And then he goes on to say, without this vision, there's no restraint.
Yes.
Now that's the reason the worldly, carnal attitude is slipping into Christianity today, is because of a lack of vision. Now vision is very important.
Amen.
A vision, now I know some dreams are taken as a vision. And some of them are. But not all dreams are a vision. But sometimes God will reveal things to you through dreams. And then that becomes a vision. Well, hallelujah. Now, when we began to look into this vision, I could go all the way through. I just couldn't get all of these scriptures because I knew I wouldn't be able to cover them anyway. But in your Bible, I want us to look at verse or chapter 10 of the book of Acts. Now, this is so important. And it's right in line with what we've been teaching on, because every time God gets ready to change the issue and to change the order, He always starts it off with a vision. And unless you have that vision, then there's no restraining you. You're going to do anything you want to do. And you won't find the Holy Spirit restraining you, because there's no real vision. But look at this 10th verse of the 10th chapter of the book of Acts.
And he became very hungry.
Now this is Peter. He is on the housetop. Now he became very hungry. But while they were preparing the meal, God intervened. And what did the Lord tell him?
And saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners.
Now, here is a great sheet knit at four corners, and it came down from where?
Heaven.
It come from the heavenly realm.
And let down to the earth.
And let down to the earth. Now, what was in that sheet?
Wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air.
Other words, now you must remember, Peter is a Judaizer. Now he has been filled with the Holy Ghost, but all of that Judaism is not out of him, just like all of the world is not out of us. You may not want to admit it, but God has a long way to go to cleanse you and I. And progressively, He's doing that. All right. Then what did the Lord say?
And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat."
Now you must remember, Peter, being a Jew, cannot eat of anything that's unclean or he thinks are unclean.
But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything."
In other words, he is actually arguing with the Lord. And so do you and I sometimes. Well, we must hasten on.
"I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God
now
hath cleansed..."
Now that's good if you would underline, and the voice spake unto him again the second time. Sometimes you've got to hear from God more than once. Peter had to hear the second time.
"And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice."
He's done it three times. God had to tell him. Well.
"And the vessel was received up again into heaven."
All right. Now, he is pondering this what he has saw. Read on.
"Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision..."
How many of you understand, so many times God gives us a vision, God shows us something, and yet doubt enters into your heart. I could tell you the goodness of God tonight, and you might receive it, and yet you may doubt. And the very minute doubt comes in, blocks the whole benefit of the blessing. Well, amen. Now listen to what he said now.
Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made...
You see, now Cornelius had had a vision. He had had a vision because he was seeking God.
Amen.
And the Lord told him to go to Joppa and inquire for a man by the name of Peter. Now this is, listen, I'm trying to show you all this junk on television. Somebody's hurting on their left side or all this junk. It's nothing but a put on. When God gets ready to talk to you, He only talks to Himself or to the Spirit that's in you. And God knows everybody's name. He knows all about you.
Amen.
He knows everything that you are ever going to think, everything you're going to ever do. He knows it. Now, when you come into the knowledge of what I'm trying to teach you, you're going to be delivered. I used to worry about who's coming to church, who's not coming to church. But since I've been dealing with this subject, it don't make no difference to me. Whoever's here, we'll minister to them.
That's right.
And whoever's not here, that's their bad luck. Now, they can get a tape, but you're never going to get as much out of a tape as you do hearing it firsthand. Well, let's read some more. I want to read down to verse 20.
Which were sent from Cornelius and had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. And while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him...
Peter saw this in a vision, and then it become reality.
Mm.
Now, vision is very important. All right, read on. I'm not going to be able to break all this down. But
while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee.
Now... the Holy Spirit told him there were three men looking for him. Now, he didn't say, I want you to go down because the Spirit is bidding you to follow these men. No, there were three men. Now, I don't have time to break down all three of these characters. But they need to be broken down. There was two servants and a soldier. Well, that in itself goes beyond the common intelligence of humanity. I mean, I could ask you a question. What does the two servants and the soldier mean? Well, you could give me your own interpretation of it, but I'm talking about the spiritual interpretation according to the Word of God. Now, you want to put this in your notes, you can. The two servants represents the two measures of grace. The soldier represents the Holy Ghost baptism that's going to war for you. Mm. Oh, hallelujah. I won't go no further in that, but read some more.
Amen. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing.
In other words, don't doubt nothing. Just go with these men.
For I have sent them.
God has sent them.
Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of a good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee.
The word Cornelius' household, he was a Gentile, and he only knew just so far to go. And so the Spirit told him to send for Peter, and he'll tell you what you ought to do. Now, whether you do it or not, that's up to you. But he's going to tell you what you ought to do. And then when Peter began to go into the Cornelius' house and began to preach, and while he was preaching, the Holy Ghost fell upon all of them that heard. Now, and I'm not trying to tear up doctrines or anything, but this word will tear up anything that's not scriptural.
Amen.
And I know, I believe in water baptism. I believe that everybody should be baptized with water. But listen, Peter said, now who can forbid water, seeing that they've received the Holy Ghost even as we have?
Amen.
Now, I preached in a camp meeting for oneness people one time, and they asked me a question. Do you believe you can get the baptism in the Holy Ghost without being baptized in water in Jesus' name? I said, I won't answer that in my opinion. I'll let the Word answer that. And I referred them to this scripture, Acts chapter 10, where Peter said, can any forbid water now, seeing they've received the Holy Ghost even as we have? Get your doctrine. I don't care what preacher's preaching, and I don't care who is teaching.
Amen.
But you better get your doctrine according to this Word.
Amen. That's right.
And I want you to know there's too many opinions being preached in this hour. It's not good. You must learn to accept what God is saying, regardless of who it comes from.
That's right.
Well, hallelujah.
Amen.
And there's so many people in this hour will take a text out of context, which makes it absolutely an error to start with. Well,
that's right.
Let's read just a little further in this, and we'll go to another scripture.
You want when the Holy Spirit fell upon them? Verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him.
That's right. Now, if you turn in your Bible to Hebrews 11 and 27, I want to show you another aspect of vision.
By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible.
He was seeing the invisible, which you have to have a vision to do that.
Amen. Amen.
Because there's so much in the invisible realm that only spirit-filled people can see. And I know we make a mistake trying to preach the depths of the Word of God to everybody, and it'll choke some. It'll hinder some. Because everybody's not ready to receive the depths of the Word of God. In fact, I hope you're ready to receive some real deep things in this service tonight. And I want to show you something. You see, I'd ask you a question. Who's going to be first in the kingdom? Now, you can ponder and you can think and all that, but you have to understand that Matthew's gospel was put first. And over in that book of Matthew, he talks about the kingdom, the kingdom. So Matthew was in the kingdom first. Well, I thought John was. No, the book of John wasn't written until after the Revelation was written. Now, I'm trying to get you grounded in the Word of God. And you must find, oh, hallelujah, the depths of the Word of God is revealing. Well, all right. So he saw the invisible. He endured.
Yes.
And that endurement simply meant he had a vision of the invisible one. Hallelujah. And he, whenever you get a real vision, it's going to stabilize you. I'm not talking about just hearing it now. I'm talking about getting a vision down in your innermost being. And you'll find that it'll stabilize you in every aspect of your life. Well, praise God. Now, if you'll turn to the Psalm 89 and verse 18. Psalms 89 and verse 18 and 19.
For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One, and saidest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people.
When you get a vision of God, you are laying hold on the Holy One.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, I could go deeper and deeper in this, but if you would read the first verse of the first chapter of the book of Isaiah, you'll find what that book's all about.
The vision of Isaiah.
Now, the vision. In other words, the whole book of Isaiah is about a vision that Isaiah's had. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And when you begin to read the first chapter, then you are getting acquainted with the one that he has the vision of. Somebody said, well, he's talking about the church. Well, in a degree he is, but he said it's sick from the head to the foot. I want to tell you something. That's the condition of the church world as we know it in this hour. There is absolutely no spiritual awakening in the church realm today. They're bogging down further and further in the tradition and what pleases people. You've got to get out of that. Well, read Isaiah chapter 22, verse 1 through 5. I'm just giving you these scriptures as a foundation, and it's not about what I'm going to really expound on.
The burden of the valley of the vision.
Now, how many of you understand if you catch a vision, you're under a burden? You ain't going to walk on top of the mountains all the time. There's a burden that comes with this vision. Well, read on.
What aileth thee now, that thou art wholly gone up to the housetops? Thou that art full of stirs, a tumultuous city, a joyous city. Thy slain men are not slain with the sword, nor dead in battle. All thy rulers are fled together. They are bound by the archers. All that are found in thee are bound together, which have fled from afar. Therefore, said I, look away from me. I will weep bitterly. Neighbor, labor not to comfort me because of the spoiling of the daughter of my people.
Yes.
For it is a day of trouble and of treading down and of perplexity by the Lord God of hosts in the valley of vision, breaking down the walls and of crying to the mountains.
In the valley of vision, God breaks down the walls. But you've got to get into that valley before He can break down these walls. Well, look at Zechariah, chapter 13 and verse 4.
And it shall come to pass in that day that the prophet shall be ashamed, every one of his vision.
Now here, that's fixing to happen.
It is happening.
The prophets are going to be ashamed of their vision. Because they are preaching, you know, all kinds of things that's going to happen, which possibility some of them will happen. But God has already said they were going to be ashamed of their vision.
Amen.
There's going to be a lot of preachers ashamed of what they have preached. Well, let's turn to 1 Chronicles 21 or 26 and verse 5. First Chronicles 26, verse 5.
Amiel, the sixth, and Issachar, the seventh. Am I in the wrong place? First Chronicles 26, 5?
No, Second Chronicles.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's where we're at. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God.
Now, how many of you desire to understand
Absolutely.
The visions of God?
Amen.
Now, when you begin to understand the visions of God, read the rest of that verse, what it means, and the Lord made him to prosper.
And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper.
That's exactly right. You see, God is in, He's in this process of producing in every one of us the attributes of God. Now, God is desiring a people that will think like Him, that will absolutely walk like Him and do the work of Him. Now, if I was to say that to traditional church members, they would rebuke me and say, that's impossible. But no, the eternal purpose of God is to have a generation just like Him.
Amen.
Now, I don't know how far we have to go, but I know we're not there yet. Well, praise God. When I look at the Apostle Paul's life, and he was converted in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, but you've got to go further in book of Acts. You've got to go into the 26th chapter and verse 18.
To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light.
Right. Now we want to read on down 19.
Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I
was... Wherefore, he's talking to the king now. King Agrippa.
I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision.
In other words, he became a vital messenger of God because he never violated the heavenly vision. Now, how many of you get a heavenly vision, and then just because somebody don't believe it, you forsake it? Don't never do that.
Amen. That's right.
I've never. I know there's a lot of folks that don't. They don't believe the way we believe, and they don't go the route that I'm going. But there's no individual in the world can change me when it comes to disobeying this word, because I'm mean determined to obey what God said.
Hallelujah.
It don't matter what is few or what is many. I'm still going to obey what God has said and what God has showed me and what God has asked me. And I'll tell you now, this is what made the Apostle Paul, well, read it in the 9th chapter of Acts, verse 10 through 15.
And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias.
Now, let me show you something. The Holy Ghost is telling Paul the name of the man that's coming to lay hands on him, that his eyes can be opened. He's been blind, totally blind, for 3 days. But during that time, God was really talking to this apostle. He wasn't known. Nobody knew him. He was a persecutor. He killed individual disciples. Well, let's read some more.
And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision. Ananias.
And all of this happened in a vision now. The Lord started talking to Ananias in a vision.
And he said, "Behold, I am here, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision."
Now you ought to underline, if he hadn't said, "Behold, he prayeth," Ananias would not have went there at all. Because listen to what he said.
"And hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard many, by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem."
But listen to what the Lord said now.
"And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake."
Paul is the only apostle, the only man that's in the Word of God, that God showed him everything he's going to have to go through with. If he'd do you and I this way, I don't know what we could stand it about. Really? Well, now I'll give you all these scriptures to explain about how powerful vision is.
Amen.
Now if you'll turn back to the second chapter of the book of Luke. Luke chapter 2, and we're going to begin at verse 25.
"And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem."
Now, there was a man in the church.
A man in the church.
Hallelujah. Now, that would be a good text. "There was a man, a certain man in Jerusalem,
whose name was Simon."
His name was Simon.
And the same man was just and devout.
He was just and devout.
Waiting for the consolation of Israel.
And he was waiting for God to consummate the promise that he had made. What are you and I waiting on? We're waiting on the consummation.
That's right.
Or the revealing. And I got something I'd love to read because I searched this out. You may never have time to search it out, but I'm going to read it to you. And it's on the word manifest. Now, in the book of John, chapter 14, 21... And if you would read in the Amplified Version, Luke chapter 22. I think that's what it is. I've traced this back so long ago that I don't hardly remember all of it. Chapter 22, verse 31 through 46 in the book of Luke. But this is what I want you to look at. The word manifest in the Greek, the meaning of it, I will unconditionally become evident to you. I will liberally appear, literally appear unto you. I will exhibit in person, myself unto you. I will expose to view and to reveal myself openly. Praise God. Now, that's what we're waiting on. A manifestation of God in the earth. Well, and God has, in the Greek, He has already told us He's going to do this. Oh, glory to God. So now, let's look at this just a moment in the second chapter of Luke.
And devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him.
Now, the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now, you might ask the question, why was the Holy Ghost upon him? Because the Holy Ghost has not yet been given. For Jesus has not yet been glorified. The Holy Ghost, I know, the Bible said John the Baptist leaped in his mother's womb by the Holy Ghost. But you can have actions according to the Holy Ghost and not have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was not given until the day of Pentecost. And it was given then not to establish the church, but to take the church out of the hands of man. And man has not turned it loose. And man is not going to just turn it loose. And churches is built everywhere upon a manifestation of the Holy Ghost, which is the nine spiritual manifestation, or you may call them gifts, and you may call them the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is one thing, and the gifts is another thing. Oh. Fruit, you don't have to do anything, only accept the fruit, but you have to wait for it to mature. I don't have time to go into that, but when Elijah returned from Elijah dropping the mantle, he hit the waters of Jordan and said, "Where's the Lord God of Elijah?" The rivers rolled back. 50 students of sons of the prophet, which represents Pentecost, standing afar off, and they're still standing afar off. They still don't want nothing to do with this walk of God. But they said, "We hold, we see the spirit of Elijah upon you." And they invited him to their city. And they said, invited him to their church. City and church is synonymous together. Jesus said it was a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. The church cannot be hid. But this particular church, or city that Elijah went in, was a beautiful situation, but there was something wrong. The fruit trees would not let the fruit mature, but it would fall off before it got ripe. How many churches do you know producing full maturity in the saints of God in this hour? Very few of them. But I can't go into the details because this is so complicated. But Elisha looked at the situation, and the Holy Ghost that was in him, or on him, analyzed the soil. You see, I can look at you and I can analyze in the spirit realm what your hindrance is. And you don't have to do anything but just listen, and they'll tell you what's hindering them. It don't take a lot of discernment, but it just takes somebody to keep their mouth shut and listen. But Elisha analyzed what that soil needed. And when he did, he asked for a new cruse.
And he said, bring me a new cruse.
Full of salt.
And put salt therein.
Now, don't you understand salt water will kill vegetation? Unless that's exactly what you need.
Right.
And when he did that, the land was healed. Oh, I wish I had time to go into that and break it down, really break it down for you. But let me show you something. The church world is in the same fix right now as that city was. And it's going to take something contrary. Well,
that's good. That's good.
How many of you understand what I'm saying? It's going to take something contrary to what you think to bring a deliverance to the church. Mm-hmm. Carnality will never do it.
That's right.
You can think what you want to think. But that's not going to work. Your thoughts is not going to bring healing to the church world. And it's not going to produce more people in the church. Okay. But what I'm saying is simply this. And you hear a lot of people talking about the kingdom now. But I wonder sometimes, do they really know what the kingdom is all about? The kingdom of God is within you. That is, if you have accepted the King. Now, well, how will I know I'm accepted the King? Well, in the book of Judges, it said there was no king in the land and everybody done what they wanted to do. They done their own thing. Now, if you're doing your own thing, you don't have a king. Without a king, you don't have the kingdom.
That's right.
I mean, it's plain. Now, but what God is doing, He is establishing the kingdom in everyone that is open for it. Everybody not open for it. Here's what's going to happen. and what is happening. Oh. You need some incentive to walk with God. Now, everybody ain't going to walk with Him because it's going to be a little bit too rough. But there is an incentive to that can help you walk with God. And number one, we just read it. The Holy Ghost was upon Simeon. The Holy Ghost can help you walk with God.
Amen.
And then, the Bible said, he was led by the Spirit into the temple. People have got to where they think they're doing you a real pleasure and a privilege to come to church. But that's not so. God can get along without you. But you can't get along without Him. Let me show you something. And I trust that you'll hear me with the spiritual ear. Now, when God exposes you to the kingdom and you accept that kingdom, do you know what God makes you then? Well, you know, a kingdom citizen, oh, it goes beyond that. In the 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, the Apostle Paul said, after verse 17, and just verse 20 is all I want to read there right now.
Now then, we are ambassadors.
Now then. You are ambassadors
for Christ.
For Christ. And then he said, I beseech you in God's stead, or in Christ's stead.
Though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God.
Do you understand what he's saying there?
How?
He said, I beseech you by God. In the behalf of Jesus. Now, you say, well, somebody says, well, when I accept Christ within me, I've got everything. Good God, don't you know that you'll be learning about Christ through eternity and still you'll never learn all there is about Him? Thank God He thought enough of us to come to this earth and walk 3.5 years in this earth,
yes,
to show us how we should walk to please God in humility, not in deity, but humility.
Amen.
And if it took Peter 30 years to get converted, how long has it taken you and I? I'm not yet arrived at 60 years of ministry yet. God's still working on me, and I'm glad He is. But if the kingdom has been established in you, then you become an ambassador of that kingdom. And that kingdom is not of this world. Jesus says that. When He's talking to Pilate, He said, my kingdom's not of this world. Now, if you're living in this world, for this world, and love things that's in this world, the love of the Father's not in you. But you still have a right to use things that's in this world and not let things rule you. But you're going to have to understand that you're an ambassador. Well,
that's good.
Then where does an ambassador live? Do you know? How many of you understand?
Embassy.
In an embassy. And if you go into any embassy, if you go into Moscow, Russia, we've got an embassy there. We've got an ambassador there. And every individual that goes into that intimacy is absolutely free of any of the laws in Russia. When you come into the embassy and you realize you are the embassy and that you are an ambassador representing the embassy, and the embassy is from heaven, the part of heaven that's in you, oh, hallelujah. Then everybody that comes to you and accepts your word, they are exempt. Oh, hallelujah. Now you can move out of that and lose your exemption. Oh, brother, God ain't going to forsake me. I didn't say that. I said you can move out of that embassy, out of that presence of that covering that you are under, and it's not covering you no more. It's that plain. And you're the one that's responsible. You can, oh hallelujah. If we could get the vision of what God is establishing in us in this hour, I'll tell you, you'll never take the tuck head again. You'll never belittle yourself again, because you'll realize that you are an embassy set up in this earth to represent God's kingdom in the world that's beyond this, in the heavenly being.
Amen.
Well, praise God. And so you're not living your own life. You are representing the whole heavenly being. Well, people don't understand how powerful this kingdom word is. But hallelujah. The kingdom of God is within you. And if it is within you, then you're going to practice the constitution and the bylaws of this book.
Right.
No ifs and ands about it. That's what runs and rules the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Well, hallelujah. Now, I don't want to give you too much, because what I'm talking about is deep stuff. Now, whenever you and I become acquainted with the kingdom and know who we are, but you've got to know who you are. And if you know you are an ambassador, then you also know that an ambassador is not operating in his own power or his own desire.
That's right.
He's operating according to the power he's under.
That's right.
And if you're not under authority, you're not going to be able to cast out nothing or determine anything. But it all hinges on who you are under.
Amen.
Well, glory. So, vision is so important. And you must understand that you cannot get a vision on your own. It has to come from the heavenly. None of these writers that I just read to you, or you read, has been able to produce their own vision. But the vision come when they sought the Lord. The enemy is out to destroy your prayer life. And you come to the house of God. Let me show you how it works. You hear a word, and then your eyes will see. There's just a few. That's really, and out of the few, there's still a fewer degree that's interested in even moving with God. And it's so easy to lose your vision. It's so easy to lose your desire to even come to the church. And I know people say, well, church ain't got nothing to do with my salvation. Yes, but your fellowship with one another does. And you need one another whether you realize it or not. Now, if it hadn't have been for the man that held the rope to let Paul down the wall in a basket, where would his ministry been? And it don't take a whole bunch of people to do it, just one individual. Will you dare to be that individual? Can you get enough of a God in you that you are not going to let nothing hinder you, amen, from fulfilling what God has laid on your heart? Now, let me give you one that almost blows your mind. What happens if you really catch the vision? And I can give you this all the way through the book, but in the second chapter of the book of Luke, the vision that Simeon had and Anna had, they could not die. It immune them from death.
And it was revealed to them by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death.
Now, the vision that he received was from God, and it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that they would not see death
before
they saw the consolation.
And seeing the Lord's Christ.
Well, hallelujah. But there's so many nuggets in this, you'll never bring them all out. But I want you to understand, here's an old man that had a vision that he wouldn't die till he saw the consolation of Israel. You see, this is what encourages me. Now, I'll tell you right now, I'm going to see this training center finish. It don't matter to me how many quits and who comes and who don't. It don't matter. I know what God said. Now, you can let things hinder you. You can go your way. You can do whatever you want. But I'm telling you now, God has given me a vision of this training center. Not only that, he's laid three other training centers on my heart, and I'm going to see them finish. Death cannot come until the work of God's finished. Now, that's how important a vision is. You catch a vision. Oh, glory to God. How many of you got a vision of your own ministry? And I'm not talking about exalting ministry. I'm talking about how many of you are open for God to share something of Himself to you. And if He does that, you don't have to worry about dying before it happens. Well, praise God. I could tell you things that happened to me before I ever got saved. I lived a rough life, and I'm not trying to justify myself. But I would laugh when the bums was falling around the ship and death charges going off, and I'd laugh, and the people around me, the sailors around me, they said, "You crazy man. What are you laughing about?" I said, "I got a praying mama. I didn't know that God had His hand on me. And I would, people would pull a gun on me, and I'd dare them to pull the trigger. Now, why did God spare me? And I wasn't in no church when God saved me. Okay. I won't go through that again. But most of you know, I'd been drunk for 6 months. I was an alcoholic. Laying in a gully, muddy water running over me. And the Lord appeared to me. I had already swore that I wouldn't go to church no more because of the way they treated my mama. I took an oath that I would never go. But God met me outside the church.
Amen. Outside the gate.
Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something. I promised Him that night, if you can find a place in your kingdom, and I didn't even know what it was, for a sot like me, I'm on your hands for eternity. And I mean that. I don't pick no bones about it. I believe when God does something, oh, hallelujah, that the eternal purpose behind that is going to be carried out. Well, praise
Amen.
God.
Hallelujah.
How many of you know that you've got a vision from God?
Yes,
that
yes.
God has showed you things and that you must fulfill them, and hell and the devil and death, nothing can hinder God from fulfilling the plan that He has for your life if you are willing. Now, why do we preach eternal life? Why do we preach that you'll never die? It's not for everybody, but it's for those that have a vision.
Praise God.
Well, hallelujah. And it's for those that have a vision of this eternal kingdom.
Amen.
And if you don't see it fulfilled right now, hold on to it.
Yes.
Hold on to it. Because God is under absolutely oath to keep you, amen, in health.
Yes.
And will not allow anything to separate you, you might say. And I know this. I've been there. Many, many times I've been there. You might say, but Brother McCrory, it looks like I'm getting further and further in debt every day of my life. Well, it may look like that. And it might be true. But then you can tell God, you have promised, Lord, that you was going to meet every need that I ever have. I don't want to lose you now. But what did God say to Moses? What did God say when He was about to send him in to Egypt? What's in your hand? What do you got a hold of? How much of God do you have a hold of? Well, I want to know, how many of you are hearing what I'm saying?
Amen.
How much of God do you have a hold of? How much of the Christ do you have a hold of? That's what the incentive of Simeon and Anna made them walk with God. I talked to a preacher not long ago, and it was really comical. And he said to me, Brother McCrory, you know what makes me hold on and walk with God? I said, no, sure don't. He said, "It's my ministry." And I thought, my God, man, how shallow you are. If that's all that makes you walk with God, something wrong with your thinking. Hallelujah. God is the one I'm holding on to. And the part of Christ that I know, I'm holding on to that. But neighbor, understand that God has given enough of vision to individuals to make them desire to walk with God. Oh, hallelujah. I tell you, I know some of you, and I understand that the way you were thinking, but I'm honest with you. We've got to forget what's behind. The Apostle Paul tells you, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth. Well, hallelujah. How many of you want to reach forth and get a hold of the Christ in a way you've never got a hold of Him before? Hallelujah. And hold Him in your hand. Glory to God. I'll guarantee you, if you turn loose of what you have, you'll receive what you don't have. I mean that thing. And it doesn't matter. Some people just don't want to meet God's requirement. Now that's true. But even the Apostle Paul talked about the resurrection in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter. He changed it and said, "Now concerning the collection." From resurrection to the collection. And I don't believe in collection because that's, they'll put buttons and everything else in it. That's what you say, collection. But God teaches His people, amen, that upon the first day of the week to be systematic with their giving. It don't matter. It don't matter whether I'm here or not. I'll guarantee you my tithe's going to be in there. I believe that God is looking for systematic giving. And a vision from God will induce you and encourage you to be faithful in your giving. Well, glory. I could go on and on talking about this vision and what it produces. But the main thing is that God wants you to realize that He's making you an embassy and that you are absolutely not under the laws of the country. Although we are told in the Word of God to abide by the laws of the country. And we do, unless they hinder the law of the kingdom. And if they hinder the law of the kingdom, I'm going with the kingdom. And it doesn't matter how many laws you violate. If it's a violating the kingdom principle, I'm going with it. Oh, praise God. God is telling you, if you will ever get this vision, you will never in this universe be satisfied in an earthly environment. Well, praise the Lord. I don't want to take some more time, but what do you think, Stephen? Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Brother, what do you think? Yeah. Well, that's the place you need to learn to praise God for everything falling apart. When you get down to nothing, you're right where God wants you. Because that's where He started everything, from nothing. Well, praise the Lord, brother. Yeah. Get a further word. Well, amen. Abigail, what you did you hear?
It was awesome. You know, the whole embassy thing, you know, and I mean, the party said, what'd you say, get a talk about the king? You said earlier, the king.
Where there's no king,
right.
The people do what they want to do.
Right. And about the king. And it's true. I mean, and we do. And we want to say He's our king and He's our Lord.
Yeah, but
like we're being our Lord. You know?
Yeah.
We're like,
doing what we want to do.
Right. And then we expect, but we expect the things of the kingdom to be evident in our life. But we're not even anywhere. We're not living in the embassy. You know? I mean, so.
Well, we're living in a day now that everybody is interested in what they can get.
Right.
And you work for, on a job, you're working for benefits.
Right.
But you've got to lose sight of that and keep your eye on God and watch God. Well, that's what he said. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these other things will be added. God wants to give us these other things, but we're allowing them to become a god to us. And that cuts us off. Well, Greg, what do you think? Oh, yeah.
And not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry.
It will not.
Hallelujah.
That's in Habakkuk
2:3.
And then he said, on down in that, write the vision and let him run that reads it.
Hallelujah.
Jonathan, what do you think? Well, I praise the Lord because He's putting these attributes in us, and then He's going to show us what He's going to raise up, deliver us with these attributes in us. You have to. God told me that. That's the reason I'm on that. Hallelujah. All right, Peggy. Oh, yeah.
Until the appointed time of His appearing to Israel.
Right.
We have to wait. We have to wait for the appointed
but
time.
But I'll give you a secret. The wise men followed the star. But when they got into the Holy Land, they detoured and went up to Jerusalem because the king was there. The star went out. Now, very few people ever see that. The star didn't shine no more. They told Herod, there's a king of the Jews born. And when they told him that, he said, find him and bring me back news. But he unleashed his sword and killed every baby from 2-year-old on down. Just because he heard there was another king born. And ever since he done that, the sword has been loosed to try to hinder and kill the manifestation of the sons of God. And it's going on right now.